Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Good afternoon. If you love your boxing and your MMA, then this is obviously the show for you. Fight Night Extra, where we bring you all the latest from the world of combat sports. Joining me today, as always, is the great Gareth A. Davis, and we've got a bumper show for you. We're going to speak about Devin Haney beating George Kambosos in Australia to become the undisputed lightweight world champion. Joe Caldina, what a performance that was. Stopped Kenichi Ogawa in the second round as he became the IBF super featherweight champion. Daniel Dubois is traveling to America as we speak, ahead of taking on Trevor Bryan for the WBA heavyweight title. Gareth has been speaking to Dubois and promoter Frank Warren. We're going to hear a bit of that. And Richard Riadbo is aiming for another stoppage win as he prepares to face Fabio Turchi in a world title eliminator at Wembley Arena on Saturday. Look, don't go anywhere. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
The spirit shown from George Kambosos Jr. This crowd can be proud of, but it is a sparkling, dazzling display. 8,000 miles from home to light up the lightweight division. A dream performance and a defining night, surely, for Devin Haney.
And this is a dream come true. I was going through it without my dad being here because I knew this was a big moment for both of us. We both dreamed of this. Since we started out, we said we wanted to be the best.
Because you've got to do something for it.
He's on the front foot again now, just trying to soften him up. Punches to the body there from Dubois.
And still, WBO International Heavyweight Champion, Triple D, Daniel Dynamite Dubois.
No, I'm back in the rhythm now, and I want to get some tests and win some big belts and have some great fights that the crowd will remember, and I'll go down in history as a great.
Yeah, big, big opportunity for Daniel Dubois. Takes on Trevor Bryan in America this weekend. Not many people talking about it, but it could be a competitive fight. He takes on the unbeaten Trevor Bryan. Don King promoted Trevor Bryan. Don King still around, still covering and working in boxing. Big win for Devin Haney. Let's welcome in as well the main man, Gareth A. Davis. Sorry, let me give him his correct title. The great Gareth A. Davis. Gareth, let's start with Devin Haney. Let's start with that one. Going to Australia. At the time of him being there, no dad with him, no Ben Davidson who works for him as well, no Lee Wiley who's part of that team, literally going there with Yoel Judah, Zab Judah's dad. So he's going into enemy territory. You wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it at all because he looked calm and collected throughout the week.
Good afternoon, Addy. Yes, indeed. Very well put. I think we said it last week. We may find out about levels here. And I think we found out levels with Devin Haney. He is one of a triumvirate of American boxers alongside Shakur Stevenson at super featherweight at the moment, or what's it called? Junior lightweight in America. And Tank Davis also, Javonta Tank Davis also at lightweight, who I think have the keys to the kingdom in America at the moment. And I think it's going to be a three-way battle for who becomes the very best. Now, on Saturday night, I would call it a Mayweather special. It was a Floyd Mayweather-esque style that he won in. It was the the variation of jab, the commanding of the range, the frustrating of the opponent. Yes, you don't go in the shower and not get wet. He took a few punches, but under 20, I reckon I counted from George Kambosos.
Yep.
Proper punches, whereas he peppered and malformed the face of the Australian originally out of Sparta with his family on Saturday night in Melbourne. It was a masterclass for me. Showed how good Haney not is, but how he's going to be.
That's frightening.
He made it look easy, didn't he? Exactly, that's the word. It's frightening. He made it look easy. 41,000 people all against him. His father not there, as you rightly mentioned, and he did a number on Kambosos. And I've got to be honest with you, I know we'll go into this in more detail. I'm not sure about a rematch.
No, you're right, and we will talk about that a bit later in the show. Like, I gave him a round, Kambosos, and that was being generous.
Yeah, I gave him two.
You gave him two, yeah.
118, okay. 110,
yeah.
116, 112. Where did you get 8 rounds?
Where did they find that?
Hello?
Where did they find those 4 rounds for Kambosos? Honestly, embarrassing. But you're right about Devin Haney. And what we've got as well, we've got a lot of these young American fighters that are not afraid to travel. I mean, you mentioned Shakur Stevenson. He's calling out Joe Cordino, and we'll touch on that. And he's like, I'll come to UK. I'll fight you. We saw Errol Spence when he came in and bashed up Kell Brook. And you got Devin Haney, who's travelled, 18 hours away from his hometown to go to Australia in the Lions Den. 41,000, as you mentioned, booing him. And he honestly does put on a Mayweather-esque clinic. It really was. It was reminiscent of Mayweather at 147, where Mayweather almost just wins. Like, just wins. Yeah. Makes it look easy. And he did that.
Yeah, it wasn't Pretty Boy Floyd. It wasn't Lil Floyd. No. It was a much more aggressive fighter. It was the kind of urbane style that Mayweather developed in the end, where, you know, he frustrated counterpunchers. And let's not forget, Kambosos is a counterpuncher. I think, you know, you mentioned Shakur Stevenson there. I spoke to him a few weeks back and I mentioned Cordina, and he said, look, he's the best of your super featherweights. Cordina, of course, has come down to super featherweight from lightweight. Mm. Inspired choice. Well done, Tony Sims, Kevin Mitchell, and Mark Seltzer in his corner on Saturday night. You mentioned all the Americans wanting to come to the UK. It's because, and I spoke to Shakur about this, I've spoken to Devin about this before, the British boxing fan, and all those listening, thank you, the overseas fighters appreciate you because they know you understand boxing. And you don't just support British boxers.
Yeah,
you support great boxers from overseas. Mm. Shakur said he wants Joe to have another fight, Joe Cordino to have another fight, but he would love to come to the UK. And I understand Eddie Hearn necessarily paid step aside, but Joe Cordino jumped the queue, if you like. He leapfrogged the queue, and he might have to fight. I think it's a Tajik. Can't remember his name right now, but I will pull it out.
Rakimov.
Who was mandatory, wasn't he, for the IBF title. So he may have to fight him first, unless it's Shakur next. I suspect they'll fight Rakimov first.
Yeah.
Because then it's a chance to build Cordina.
Indeed. And I'm so happy you said that about the American fighters understanding the British public, understanding and knowledgeable about boxing. And also, we give them their respect as well. When they come over, we give them their respect. Yes, we're going to boo them when they enter the ring, but we eventually clap them if they put on a performance. I mean, you had Terence Crawford here recently, and he said the British fight fans are the best. I mean, he's gone to events.
There was a day a couple of years back after Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury fought the first time. I remember Deontay Wilder coming to the UK. I remember him coming to Talk Sport. Everyone was out at their desks. He was surrounded by 100 people at Talk Sport. when Deontay Wilder walks down the street in the UK, he's mobbed like a superstar.
This is it.
Like a rapper star of Tinseltown, not a boxer. It's because the fans know who he is and they appreciate him. He's this huge human being. It's like that for a lot of American boxers over here. And like you say, I think they appreciate it. And it's down to the quality and love of our fans.
Indeed it is. Let's talk about Joe Cordina. I spoke to him in the immediate aftermath of that fight for DAZN. And it wasn't a punch from the gods because it wasn't a lucky punch as so, but fantastic punch to get a second round knockout like that in front of your home fans, especially when you think Joe's not really considered a puncher as well. I know he stopped Joshua Hernandez at Fight Camp, but he's not really, he's the boxer, and Kenichi Ogawa was supposed to be the puncher. For him to land that shot and win a world title like that in his 15th fight, I mean, I feel like Matchroom are looking for their next star, and a lot's been put on maybe the shoulders of a Conor Benn. Joe Cordina, good-looking guy, has got the Welsh following. He could be the star that they maybe weren't anticipating would be.
Yeah, 13th world champion from Wales.
Yeah.
There's a decorated group of fighters from the Principality, Joe Calzaghe, Enzo Macarinelli. You know, you go back to the long time ago, Howard Winston, Jimmy Wilde, one of the most famous flyweights, the Mighty Atom, he was called, the ghost with a hammer in his hand, he was called. Tiny little flyweight, you knocked out, I think it's something like 90 out of 106 opponents. Yeah, oh yeah, he was the Mighty, he was the ghost with a hammer in his hand. He worked down the mines. They were built differently then. They were built differently, Addy. Imagine me and you squeezing down the mine now.
No, thank you.
I couldn't imagine Joe Cordina squeezing down the mine now, but I'm sure he's capable of it. The inspired thing for me was he might not have had a lot of power at lightweight, Joe Cordina, but he's got it at super feather. And what he did was he's such a clever boxer because he had a torrid first round. I thought, oh, this is going to be a rough, tough night after the first round. I'm sure you thought the same because Ogawa looked really intense.
Looked sharp and strong,
focused,
didn't he?
Yeah. Sharp and strong, exactly. All those qualities. And yet Joe squared him up and he hit him with a punch, reminiscent, I would say, of Carl Froch knocking out George Groves at Wembley, where he's just turned him and he gets the whole jaw surface to work on sideways to torque that chin. There was no Ogawa getting up from that one, baby.
Yeah, he said he felt it in his hand, and then he said it went through his forearm and in his shoulder. Yeah. And he said he knew. As soon as he landed, that was that. And look, credit to Ogawa, he tried to get up, but there was no getting up from that. We're going to talk, Mitch, a bit more about Joe Cordina. Daniel Dubois, obviously in America as we speak. Big fight for him on the weekend in Miami against Trevor Bryan for the WBA regular heavyweight title. Say what you want. I know there's this bin the belt thing, but it's a good opportunity for him. You beat Trevor Bryan, and it's the only way he's up. I mean, you're in the mix then for potentially a world title fight. Although I think he's only, 23, 24, Daniel Dubois? He could literally put his feet up and wait for the older statesman to leave. You know, your Furies, your AJs, your Dillian Whites, your Luis Ortizes, and he'll still be only 27, 28. He's got a bright future if he can get this one done.
No, absolutely right. Well, he's not going to put his feet up.
No,
but it's
of course
a great
not,
analogy.
Yeah.
But I would say this is the analogy. Mm. He's going to be sitting in the waiting room.
I like it.
Sitting in the waiting room. This is an opportunity to put himself in the shop window. He's in the waiting room. This is the dress rehearsal for those other things. I've always felt that Trevor Bryan is just a level below world class. Mm. He's got the regular, or the, what we call, it's the secondary title, isn't it, with the WBA?
It is.
Mm. I think it's a great opportunity. I think it's a style that Bryan is not a big puncher. Daniel Dubois has got to be careful because his eye and his heart was exposed a little bit against Joe Joyce, but the brain tells the body what to do. I don't like to use the word quitter, and I never will of any man who steps into the ring. I don't like the term. I'd rather him, kind of back off and be fit enough to fight for another day. That's the way I like to look at it. And it is another day for him. I think it's a great opportunity. Like you say, 90-year-old Don King in action on the other side of the pond promotionally. Known Don many, many years. It's brilliant. It's his last boxer. But I think Mr. Warren's going to be coming home with a WBA regular heavyweight champion in Daniel Dubois next weekend. And you know what as well?
Go on.
I know... You said it's gone under the radar a little bit, but that's not a bad thing for Daniel Dubois.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, you're right. It isn't. And good luck to Daniel Dubois. Look, we're going to be hearing from him. I know you spoke to him. So we're going to be hearing from Daniel Dubois and Frank Warren in a little bit. Someone that has a big fight coming up as well is Richard Ryakpor, who's been very busy since he's come back. Since obviously, look, he was associated with Dillian White. That's now split. He's doing his thing, and he's doing his thing very, very well, Richard Ryakpor. He takes on Fabio Turchi. Big fight. Again, a fight this weekend. There's so much boxing every single week now. But yeah, Richard Ryakpor, big fight for him as he looks to get closer to a world title shot.
Yeah, look, I love the Midnight Trainers.
I love that name. I love that name.
Oh, I love it as well. Look, here's the thing for me about the Midnight Train. He'll keep on rolling. He'll keep on busting through the night. He's on a journey in the twilight hours. Wait for this. He's on a, and it's all coming off the top of my head here. He's on a journey in the twilight hours into the dawn of a new era in the cruiserweight division. he's rolling along those tracks. He's lifting sleepers while we rest. I will go on, but it'll get too cheesy in the end. But the thing is about Richard, and I've spoken to him recently. I don't know if we're going to hear from him today. We spoke to him on Saturday night on Fight Night, Addy. he takes critique really well. Because I was very critical of his performances against, for example, Olenre Duradola.
Yeah.
Where I wanted him to use combination punching and attack head and body and really go for it and know what he is. He had a period when he thought he was a boxer. He knows what he is now. He's not a pure boxer. He's a destroyer. He's an Adonis physically. Very powerful fighter. He's recapturing himself all the time. He's learning all the time. And once he's got through the likes of a couple more, like Fabio Turchi, he's wiped out British opposition, apart from the WBO world champion, Lawrence Okolie at Cruiserweight, which is a fight I would love to see. As big, it's bigger than Boatse, Joshua Boatse and Anthony Yard, in my view. Or as, it's one of those, but it is one of those. Mm. It's a one that should fill out the O2 Arena. It's as big as Boatse against Yard, in my view, and I would love to see it. And I think that Riak Paul is on the way to being a world champion eventually. And this is the last couple of steps because he's learning so quickly. He was so impressive when he spoke to us on Saturday night.
Yeah, he does need to learn very quickly and move very quickly as well because he's 32 now, Riak Paul. I know he looks fantastic, in great shape, but the age is the age. So he does need to move on and get that world title shot. All right, you're listening to Fighter Extra on TalkSport 2. When we come back, we're going to talk about Mr. Devin Haney becoming the undisputed lightweight world champion.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
The spirit shown from George Kambosos Jr. This crowd can be proud of, but it is a sparkling, dazzling display. 8,000 miles from home to light up the lightweight division. A dream performance and a defining night, surely, for Devin Haney.
All three judges have it for the winner by unanimous decision. From Las Vegas, Nevada, USA, now the universally recognized, undisputed lightweight champion of the world, Devin the Dream Haney.
And this is a dream come true. I was going through it without my dad being here because I knew this was a big moment for both of us. We both dreamed of this. Since we started out, we said we wanted to be the best.
Yeah, look, this is amazing for the sport, amazing for this country. And at the end of the day, I want to take the best test, the hardest test. So I'm going to give him full respect after his victory today. Let him have his time and we'll do it again.
Yeah, look, I hope we don't see it again. Not for now, anyway. Kambosos should go away, maybe get a couple of big wins under his belt. You know, there are other good fighters in the lightweight division. And then if it can be sold again, then you sell it again. This is Fighter Extra on TalkSport 2. Myself, Fadi Lodipo, the great Gareth A. Davis. Gareth, you know what? I put my hands up. I wasn't sold on Devin Haney before. I'm brutally honest. Remember watching his fight against Jojo Diaz, and I'm thinking, oh, Jojo Diaz is small. Come from a smaller weight class. Remember he got rocked a little bit by Jorge Linares, and I was like, he's not as good as they say he is. I'm obviously wrong. He is as good as they say he is.
Well, I think we were comparing the performance that Teofimo Lopez put up against. Yeah, Jorge Linares, it was a good... I mean, Devin touched on this with me in the build-up, by the way, that he'd had that kind of gut check against Jorge Linares, who is a brilliant fighter, throws massive combinations, is very tenacious. Obviously, he's at the end of his career, so we all had doubts that how could this elderly statesman of the division push Devin as far as he could? And look, Devin clearly relies on great defensive skills and boxing skills, pure boxing skills. He's not a power merchant. He's happy to win a fight by winning, you know, discrete units of 3 minutes. He's got the skills and he's comfortable in the office, in the ring. And I think we judged that Teofimo Lopez performance with George Kambosos. We can't overlook the fact that Teofimo Lopez was kamikaze in that contest. I did make the point last week on the show, and I think, you know, you can often overjudge at certain performances. And I think Haney never allowed Kambosos. Maybe, I think I gave him the 10th round in one of the early rounds when he had a bit of success getting in close and throwing hooks, throwing a right hand that was landing. But Devin, what he did so brilliantly, didn't just use the jab. He used different types of jabs.
Yep.
He retreated brilliantly, half a step. He was out of range well. He ducked in and under. He knew the scything sizes, shapes of George Kambosos' junior's punches, and he dipped and went under them. It was just majestic, a lot of it. And in some ways, it was not a boring one-sided fight, but because some people felt it was that. But for me, it was a masterclass of great proportions that shows his great potential. I don't think that's the best performance we're going to see from him. He's going to need those kind of performances against the likes of Tank Davis, against Vasyl Lomachenko, against Ryan Garcia. He's going to have to utilize those skills that he showed and some if he is going to emerge as the undisputed champion for a period of time in that division. I regret the fact that, and Bob Arum made that point, because of course Devin Haney's gone to Top Rank to make this fight. I regret the fact there's a rematch clause, because why is there a rematch clause for this? I don't see the reasons why. I don't see the thinking behind it. I don't see the logic. I don't see the fairness in it.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to sell. Some would argue, and not me, but some would argue Kambosos gave him a shot when he didn't have to. In the sense of Kambosos could have gone for an easy voluntary. So, you know what, let's just have an easy voluntary and we'll remain champion again for another 6 or 7 months. But I'm with you. There doesn't need to be. None of the rounds were competitive. Even the two rounds that you gave to Kambosos, I mean, they could be swing rounds. They were that close. It could have gone either way. So you're really looking at a guy that got completely and utterly destroyed by Devin Haney. Not a beatdown, but destroyed just from a boxing clinic standpoint. And what's
also, his hand speed looked so much better. I wrote down my notes. I've got my notes in front of me from the fight. Jab, 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 jab. reach advantage, fast, mobile, his hand speed. He tied him up brilliantly when he came in close. Mm. He's very skillful at tying him up, which is a skill in itself. People don't like it sometimes. Joe Calzaghe used to do it to extraordinary effect, as did Mayweather. So, sorry for interrupting you, but I think those qualities were on show.
Yeah, they were. And I mean, he's 23. I mean, that's probably the biggest quality. He's only 23 years of age, and that's almost incredible. I mean, you almost want to fast forward and think, okay, what's he going to be like at 140 when he's 25? When he's had a few more fights, or 147. They're all going to go there together. Him, Shakur, Javante, maybe not. He doesn't have the frame, but Ryan will be there as well. He is fantastic. He's undisputed at lightweight. Do you think he is the best lightweight, though?
Well, we need to see him in against Javante Tank Davis. We need to see him in against Vasyl Lomachenko. Mm. I want to see him in against Ryan Garcia as well. Because Garcia has massive power as well. I don't care that people are writing Garcia off at the moment. There's insults flying around. The other thing that you've got to applaud him for, and I think, again, I spoke to Devin about this going into, I think it was 10 days before the fight, how it had served him well as a teenager boxing men in Mexico when he turned pro in Mexico with his father, Bill, that he'd been backs against the wall. He'd been in Mexico where he was being jeered. And I think that whole atmosphere in Australia didn't bother him. 41,000 fans, smiling. Pretty much all of them. Yeah, just enjoying it. Tongue out, you know, real attitude, just loving every moment of it. And he really, really did cover himself in glory on the night.
Look, I fully understand why George Kambosos, and he said it in the ring after, look, we'll see you later. And I think he mentioned November as a possible date. I get it. You want your belts back. And if it's in the contract, it's in the contract, right? But hopefully him and his team sit down and think, okay, look, we're not going to beat him. We're not going to beat him. There are other champions out. Like, go and get the IBO title. Have that fight with Maxi Hughes. Maybe even go and fight Rolando Romero, who's got a name for himself now after the Javante. There are other good fighters out there that you can then, if you get a win, then okay, we'll get excited for potentially you versus Devin or anyone else. Right now, I don't think there's anyone, nobody that wants that fight. Apart from his management company and his promotional company because of the money, no one else wants to see it.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, Kambosos' style is a counterpuncher in the pocket, isn't he? That's where he does his best work. So he couldn't time Devin. Devin never allowed him to time him, and I think, you know, styles make fights. It's an old adage. It's a cliche in many ways. But this is a conflict of styles for George Kambosos. And I think it's a very difficult. I think maybe he beats Devin Haney one time out of 10. But I don't think he beats him in the second time of two.
You know what? And look, Gareth, you are, forgive me for saying this, the elder statesman of us both. I don't ever remember a time in boxing from my, you know, short period of covering the sport where I've seen so many undisputed fights or even potential undisputed fights on the table. It's incredible.
It is. It is the age of the undisputed. I mean, we can go into it in the next section with Joe Cordina and Devin Haney. But I think looking at it the other day, I think by early next year, we could have had 8 undisputed champions in the last year and a half. Across the different weight divisions. I'll go through it in the next section, if you like. It's extraordinary, really, when you look at it.
Let's go through it, indeed. All right, this is Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Next, we are going to chat about Joe Cordina becoming the IBF Super Featherweight Champion. We might even, if we got time, get a bit word in about Inoue knocking out Dinera in the second round.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
What did you suffer from?
Brilliant right hand!
What a right hand!
Kenichi Ogawa is out on the canvas.
Beautiful shot. Punch perfect.
And Carnick explodes in celebration. Wales has another world champion.
And the new IBF Super Featherweight Champion of the World, the Welsh Wizard, Joe.
Welcome back. This is Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Adi Oladipo, Gareth A. Davis. Big win. Big win for Joe Cordina on the weekend. Big win for Welsh boxing. Because let's be honest, it's been pretty quiet of recent. Gareth mentioned some of the big names earlier. And you think the last world champion they probably had was Gavin Rees. It's a long, long time ago. Obviously, great Senzo Marcanelli and Joe Calzaghe of recent times. But it's been a while and it's been a market that Eddie and Matchroom have tried to tap up, and they've now got the guy to do it. Obviously, Joe Cordina putting in a career best performance against Kenichi Ogawa. Bigger things to come for him, but he looked fantastic. But first round was edgy, as it's going to be, but the finish was as good as it gets, Gareth.
Oh, it was amazing. I think the last world champion was actually Gavin Rees was 2008, Nathan Cleverley in 2011 to 2013 at light heavyweight. There was Lee Selby, of course, at featherweight, and now Joe Cordina at super featherweight. It was an extraordinary performance when you consider that most of us, you mentioned it at the top of the show, thought that Joe would have to outbox Kenichi Ogawa, kind of underrated fighter in lots of ways, seen as quite a simplistic fighter. But he did an amazing job to find that right hand, reminiscent, as I say, of Carl Froch knocking out George Groves in front of 80,000 people.
Really? Was it that many?
It was that many. Thank you, Carl, for that. In front of 80,000 people. I was there on the night. In fact, I think we were doing it for TalkSport Live. Extraordinary night. And, you know, it sets up the prospects. I mean, we talked about unifying belts and undisputed champions. Obviously, in the super featherweight division, Joe now holds the IBF title. Shaka Stevenson, who I think could well be the pound for pound number one. I've waxed lyrical with you before about him. WBC and WBO champion. There's the WBA champion out there, Roger Gutierrez. There'll be a race to fight him now.
It would
not surprise me to see Shaka Stevenson here by the end of the year, if not early next year, with three of the belts. It's the biggest and toughest fight I think Joe will probably ever have, because Shaka Stevenson makes boxing look like genuinely like a little stroll in the park with your poodle. He's just unbelievable. He's almost a savant in the ring. And
it's almost unfair that Joe's got that in his division.
Well, he'll love that. When I spoke to Joe about it, he said, he said, I'm a massive fan of Shaka Stevenson, as many British boxing fans are. And when I spoke to Shaka about it, Shaka said, look, I've watched Cordina. They were at the Rio Olympics together, by the way, weren't they?
Yeah.
So they know each other a little bit. They weren't in the same division then. But, Shaka really respects him. He respects his boxing skills. It's a terrific fight because Joe's a big super feather, which I think is a massive advantage to him.
Yeah, and Joe now, obviously, look, we know his boxing pedigree as an amateur already. And, you know, with the knockouts of Joshua Hernandez and Kenichi Ogawa, I mean, I think Shakur's unbelievable. But you might have to say Joe might be the bigger puncher of the two. And he can box. So Joe brings his own things to the table as well. But look, Shakur Stevenson, and I'm with you, by the way. Obviously, look, not pound for pound number one now, but he will be. Like, yeah, I can put whatever money I've got in my pocket, he will be pound for pound number one, and he'll be a multi-weight world champion as well. So look, it's a fantastic one. If not Shakur Stevenson, could he go Zelfa Barrett, who won the European title on the weekend? Could he do that?
Yeah, Zelfa Barrett's a great opponent for him as well. It's a terrific matchup in styles. Again, Barrett is a very aggressive, tenacious fighter. You know, under his uncle, Pat Barrett. Goodness
me. There you go. Come on, get the coffee in, yeah.
How did I forget Pat's name there? I've only known him for 30-odd years. But the thing is, Zelfa has pedigree in him. He's a terrific. He's been up and down a little bit in his career. He's been unfortunate at times. He's been fortunate at other times with decisions, I believe. But yeah, again, if they want to keep Joe treading water, if they think it's a viable fight, if Eddie Hearn can make that sell, that certainly sells in the Motorpoint Arena, in my view. Build a champion in Wales now. That's what Eddie Hearn will be very keen on. Because, you know, if Shakur Stevenson comes, they will want to make that fight in a minimum 20,000 arena or outside at Cardiff Football Stadium. Oh, somewhere, man. Like that. Yeah. There's a possibility to do it. And as I was saying just now, you've got that division potentially finding an undisputed champion if Roger Gutierrez gets involved as well. Although I think he's slated to defend.
He's got a fight coming up
July
next,
the 10th.
Yeah.
July the 10th. He's defending his title. I think it's a mandatory as well.
Rossi?
It is. There's also, you know, when you look at the other divisions, you mentioned Anoa'i Inoue knocking out Nuno Danao, predicted it last week. That I thought he'd win by knockout. He's a special, special little character. That's three of the belts there, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we're looking at an undisputed title there down the line. We've got the light heavy. I got the division. Super middleweight. We've already got September the 17th. You and I will be in Vegas together for a week. I'm thinking I'm going for two. Saúl Canelo Álvarez de Jalisco, Tijuana, Mexico against the great Gennady Golovkin at super middleweight. All the belts we've got. The prospect of the light heavyweight belts meeting all of four of them. Joe Smith and Artur Beterbiev for three of them coming up soon. And then Dmitry Bivol in the wings. So he could meet the winner of that. That's all the belts. The heavyweights, the winner of Usyk and Joshua. When the hell are they going to announce? Is Eddie going to announce?
I honestly have no idea what's going on with that.
No, against that. Well, I mean, as I said last week, I did a piece saying, as we spoke about it on the show again, that it's been delayed 2 or 3 weeks. I believe it'll be July the 13th or July the 20th. I think August, sorry.
I'm here in August, yeah.
Yeah, so that's moving. But Tyson Fury could be drawn back for a heavyweight undisputed title against the winner of that. There's another division.
I think you've got Stephen Fulton. Who's got two belts,
exactly.
And Akhmadaliev, I think, has got two. Yep. They're looking to get it on. Yep.
So this has always been the complaint about boxing. Obviously, the belts scatter because the sanctioning bodies are not happy about it. There's Josh Taylor, wasn't there? But
Josh Taylor. But
it doesn't last for long, but at least we get a certified number one at that point, and then you can judge everyone else by that. So, you know, it's a good time in that way, in my view.
Yeah. Can I just quickly ask you about something that was announced today? I did a video on it, and it's just Chisora Pulev rematch I'm talking about. And I always tried to see the reaction to what people say on social media immediately, and some were very scathing of it. And I'm like, look, sometimes you're not always going to get, we just mentioned sort of pound for pounders, undisputed. Sometimes you're just going to get fun fights that are carnage. Yeah. Carnage at the weigh-in, carnage in the ring. And I thought that was that. And I'm not going to try and sell Chisora as, you know, he's going to beat Pulev and fight for a world title. It's not going to happen. Nor is Pulev. Both of them are touching 40. Chisora might be a bit over that already. But sometimes you just get fun fights. What did you make of the fight?
Yeah, I think it is a fun fight. I'm not overwhelmed by it. Mm. I think it works as a small card. They're going to headline, presumably.
Yeah.
Was it July the 2nd?
July 9th.
July 9th.
Yeah.
Where is it? In London?
O2 Arena, London. Yeah.
O2 Arena. Yeah, Derek's a fan favourite. He's coming up to the very end of his career. He's approaching 40. There aren't major, major fights left. He'll probably never fight for a world title again at heavyweight. Yeah. But like you say, in terms of attention it'll draw in the week, Pulev's a great character. obviously, he has fought at the very highest level, of course, as well. I see no harm in it. That's the perfect way to put it, Eddie. It's a fun fight, but it's not one of the big blockbusters of the year. But I'm glad that it's not Deontay Wilder, because there was talk about Derek Chisora and Deontay Wilder at one point, and I thought, no, that I don't like the sound of that fight for me, because Deontay, whatever anyone says about him, is still one of the most dangerous heavyweights in the world, if not the most dangerous single punching puncher in the world, single punching boxer in the world.
Agreed, 100%. And look, obviously, he's announced that he's going to continue, and that's exciting, because there's so many big fights for him on the table. You think of Andy Ruiz potentially. You know, African-American versus Mexican-American. America always do well. So that should be a good one. And then I still want to see the AJ one. AJ versus Wilder in Nigeria would be... Oh, God. It would be incredible. Yeah. You lived in Nigeria, Gareth. You know, it would be incredible.
Yeah, it would be. Look, what are we going to call it? I need a name for this.
Chaos in Lagos.
Chaos in Lagos. Oh, I love that. I was going to say... Victory in Victoria, for instance.
I like it.
Victoria Island. But
yeah.
No, chaos in Lagos. I love it. You've done it. You've just done it.
Just sold it. I'm going to quickly speak to my guy now. Copyright that now. All right, this is Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Next up, we're going to finish the show by hearing from Daniel Dubois.
TalkSport 2, official broadcast partner of the Premier League and the EFL.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And he's on the front foot again now, just trying to soften him up. Punches to the body there from Dubois.
And still, WBO International Heavyweight Champion, Triple D, Daniel Dynamite Dubois.
This isn't a heavyweight title fight.
It's over. It's over.
Brian with the right hand again, another right hand.
It's over.
Brian in the corner, and that's it. Frank Gentile says that's enough.
No, I'm back in the rhythm now, and I'm on a... get some tests and win some big belts and have some great fights that the crowd will remember, and I'll go down in history as a great.
Yeah, Daniel Dubois wants to win some big fights, wants to win a big belt. He's got the opportunity to do that on the weekend. The WBA regular heavyweight title is going to be up for grabs. Takes on the unbeaten Trevor Bryan this Saturday in Miami. The British heavyweight has been speaking with our very own Gareth A. Davies, head of the fight, and says it's important not to take his opponent lightly.
Oh no, he's undefeated. You know, so he's still, he's a champion. So, he's undefeated. Can't take anyone lightly. This is a fight. This is the heavyweight title, and I've got to be prepared for how long it takes to you know, deal with him and in what fashion I'm going to do it. So, I'm really looking forward to getting in there and see what it's like.
This is a massive opportunity for you to resonate both in the UK and in America with this fight. You're not someone that is deliberately going for the knockout, but you've got very heavy hands. Is a statement victory in your mind with this fight?
Yes, it is. You know, it's important. You know, I'm out here, and, you know, to win over the American fans, is that's what I want to do. And, you know, more than that, I want to go in there and deliver. So delivering, that means everything. Everything I've worked on since I was a kid, you know, dreaming of the heavyweight world title, this is it.
Gareth Davis there speaking to Daniel Dubois. Obviously, look, big fight for him on the weekend. Not necessarily because of the title, just big fight. You got to just keep on winning and winning and winning. That's just how it is now in boxing, unfortunately. Obviously, coming off that defeat to Joe Joyce, two wins since then, is now with Shane McGuigan, who I think we are seeing improvements, and I think we are going to see them on Saturday as well. I expect him to get the job done, but I don't think it's going to be as easy as some think, Gareth.
I don't know. Look, Trevor Bryan is undefeated in 22 fights, 15 wins. He's been boxing for a long time. He's in his early 30s. But really, when you look at it, his two greatest wins are BJ Flores and Bermain Stiverne.
Could we not do that with Dubois as well?
Yeah, in a way. But, you know, his where it went wrong for him, you're right, but where it went wrong for him was against Joe Joyce, who I think is world level. Mm. There's no question about it.
None. none at all.
No, none at all. He's got an unusual style. He can take big, heavy shots. He's an old-fashioned heavyweight in many ways, who could have lived with a lot of the very heavy punching boxers in previous eras. Not got the fastest hand speed in the world, Joe Joyce, but very good jab. What Daniel's got to do is not allow Trevor Bryan to settle into a rhythm, to settle into momentum in this fight. Now, when I spoke to Daniel last week, he's very happy out in Miami. He's really enjoying it. He's living in the Cuban quarter of the town. Mm-hmm. He knows it's a town where Muhammad Ali trained for many years under Angelo Dundee in the Fifth Street Gym. It's a place steeped in boxing history. It's a double-edged sword in lots of ways, because I think he should produce a statement here. Most of us inside the sport, I don't disagree with you that there might be moments of difficulty in the fight. You know, it's a heavyweight, it's a kind of heavyweight world title, isn't it? I'm not calling it a full world title because it isn't.
But he's not going to get any parade when he comes back for being a world champion.
Okay, exactly. Yeah. Quite right. He's not getting the open top bus parade. he's losing, slide back in through customs with a sneaky little belt under his arm. Basically, that he can stick in the waiting room, put on the chair next to him and say, boys, I'm here. Yeah. I'm going to be training in the background. If you need me, I'm ready. Mm. And if Tyson Fury doesn't come back for a little while, if he doesn't want the undisputed crown, if Daniel Dubois does get an opportunity against the likes of Anthony Joshua, he'll take it. I tell you what, Alexander Usyk and Daniel Dubois is an interesting fight, isn't it? What would happen in that one?
Yeah, look, Daniel Dubois is obviously heavy hands, very heavy hands, very, very young, still learning. I think he can admit that as well. And you just wonder if he's got over, look, you've sat with him and spoke to him a lot since that defeat to Joe Joyce, and I just wonder if he's got over that mentally. Because he's so softly spoken, Daniel Dubois. He's not one of those that are going to come out big chest bravado. And I just kind of wonder, because it was a gut check, and look, he didn't quit, but he took the knee, and I can almost separate the two. So I just wonder if he's got over that mentally, and if it does get tough in there against Trevor Bryan, if he does land some big shots and Trevor Bryan's still there like Joe Joyce was, then I wonder what's going to happen.
Well, he's done under 6 minutes since then, hasn't he, in two fights against Bogdan Dino and Joe Cusimano. I mean, you know, he looked good in America. That's nearly a year ago. In Cleveland, Ohio. It was a great, I think it was his US debut. Yeah, it was his US debut. You know, Bogdan Dinu, we were there that night for TalkSport. He smashed 2-6 bells out of him in a couple of rounds. He's so young, Daniel. I mean, he's a 23-year-old as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, it's 24 years now. He's 24 last September. The one thing you've got to have as a heavyweight to get to the top, unless you're a Joe Bugner, is power. You've got to have a punch power as a heavyweight or an amazing chin. Mm. Joe Joyce has got the chin. Daniel Dubois has got the power. And I think down the line, it's going to count for him. He's ready to, power-wise, as you say, he's ready for world title shots. But the big test is going to be if Trevor Bryan holds him up for a while and teases him and befuddles him with his boxing skills. I don't think he will, because I think Dubois's got a fantastic jab when he employs it properly. I love the work that Shane McGuigan's doing with him. Mm. He could go to the very top. And like you say, 24 years old, he's around for 5 more years. And the likes of Wilder, Fury, and Joshua ain't going to be around then. Maybe even not even Joe Joyce as well, because he's knocking on 35, 36. So there's a long time to go. He's very young in his career. And maybe he doesn't want to get to the top too early. But this is the time that he puts himself in the shop window.
It certainly is. I mean, if he wins, and I guess we all, and I think a lot of people think he will win, maybe even in a 4 or 5 rounds, I think it will get the job done. But if he wins, there's going to be a lot of clamour because of the belt for him to maybe be in there against big names. Do you just want them to kind of maybe pause on this a little bit and maybe look for, you know, faded past champions, you know, Charles Martins of the world, people that have name value, but maybe not as dangerous as those guys within the top 15?
Well, I'd put him in with Deontay Wilder now as well.
Who?
I mean, imagine that as a shootout. What a fight that would be. Yeah, exactly. I heard that noise. You like that? Bit of oof coming out of you there. You wouldn't mind interviewing those guys ringside, would you?
Yeah, no, I certainly would. You know what fight I'd like for him next? Martin Bacoli.
Yep, another great fight for him.
I like that. I like
Bacoli
that.
Is tenacious. Mm. He's got lots going for him. Big, strong, heavyweight, mature man. But, you know, the thing is with Daniel, what he's got to do is impose himself. He's a destroyer of other guys. The trouble is they use the Q word, the quitter word, over someone who's taken a knee in a fight like he did against Joe Joyce. And that mud sticks. And it will probably always stick. But it wouldn't surprise me if Daniel loses 3 and wins 30. Mm. No harm in that. But I think he'll be a world champion at some point.
Gareth, just before we wrap, performance of the week, I'm going to ask you. Inoue stopping Dener, Cordina getting the win over Ogawa, or Devin Haney going to Australia and becoming undisputed?
Oh, that's a really rough question.
You're the man for it, Gareth.
Performance of the week. Well, look, I'm going to game of two halves here. If you're a boxing purist, it's got to be Devin Haney. If you're a romantic that loves the poetry of Dylan Thomas, it's going to be Joe Cordina. But if you love the warrior spirits of the samurai and you're a big fan of the little men knocking out the other little men, it's got to be Noya Nui. And who comes? And I'm going to go Cordina, Haney. Mm. And because it's just happened today, Inoue.
You know what? I'm going to die with you on that hill. I think it's a perfect number 1, 2, 3 there. Gareth Davis, my man, as always, thank you very, very much. This has been a wonderfully packed Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Thank you so much for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.